Amen. But we understand that. And looking at verse, we'll begin in verse number, let's see. Let's start in verse number 7 in Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in the heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true. I want to talk for just a little bit today about the Lamb. The Lamb. The first thing I want to see back in chapter 19, in 7 through 9, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage of the Lamb. It says that the bride had made herself ready. One day, when God calls us out of here, when that great tribulation takes place on this earth, God's saints, his bride, will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works will be judged. And those that weren't done with a pure heart for the love of Jesus Christ, for the cause of Christ, with the right motivation, will be burned away, and then we'll be prepared. We won't have any of us. We won't have anything that was done in pride or arrogance or done to show off or done for this flesh. It'll be all that was done for Jesus Christ. We'll be prepared for our husband, our bridegroom. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb. In verses 11 through 14, it says, And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We've seen the marriage of the Lamb. Now we see the majesty of the Lamb. He's on this white horse, this symbol of purity, the symbol of righteousness, this clean white horse. And he has many crowns on his head. That's our Lord and Savior. See, the world has a weird idea of who Jesus Christ is. The Catholic Church has a weird idea of who Jesus Christ is. The whole religious system that the devil has set in place, whether it's Islam or Catholicism or the messed up Baptists that are messed up, the Methodists that are messed up, whatever group it might be that are messed up on their religion, if you will, they have a weird view of Jesus Christ. He was not some spindly little man that come and was victimized by a bunch of Roman soldiers. He was Lord that came down from heaven and gave himself to that cross on Calvary so you and I could have eternal life. And he's coming back, and he won't be coming back the way he came the first time. That white horse and all those crowns the majesty, the Word of God. Hey, we've got a majestic book. Amen. You know, it was given to us through King James, which is a word for Jacob. Jacob was called Israel in the Old Testament. We got a book. It's a majestic book. We were talking about that in Sunday school. That Bible right there says Holy Bible on it. And it's the only one that should say holy on it. It's that King James Bible. The rest of them just ought to come on and be honest and say perverted mess. Amen. But we've got a holy Bible. We've got a majestic book. We've got a book that we read about our God. Oh, the thees and the thous and the thys. It's a majestic language that we speak about our Lord and Savior. Jesus is not our old Jesus, our brother, the old man upstairs. That's not our God. Our God is a majestic God. Our Savior is a majestic Savior. Our Bible is a majestic Bible. Our walk with Jesus Christ ought to portray Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The majesty of the Lamb. Look at verse 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We see the mouth of the Lamb. What comes out of the mouth of the Lamb? That sword. It's the Word of God. See, He had that name on Him, the Word of God. Your relationship with this Bible is just, it's not just a relationship with paper and ink. It's a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? It's a roadmap to guide your steps. It's a chastening tool to get you right when you're wrong. It convicts. It completes. Amen? We're complete in Christ, and we have a complete revelation of Jesus Christ in this book that He wants us to have. And He wants us to walk with Him and understand that we're bought with a price. We're looking forward to the marriage of the Lamb. We're looking forward to finally seeing the majesty of the Lamb. And we want to hear from the mouth of the Lamb. You know what the Bible says? These words are sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen. If you read through the Song of Solomon, we talked about this a little bit last week. You talk about how sweet His words are. And you look at that relationship between a bride and a groom, and that's the relationship goal of the church, to see Jesus Christ the way the bridegroom's seen in the Song of Solomon. Amen. The bride is in the streets looking for her bridegroom, wanting to be with her bridegroom, watching for her bridegroom, waiting for His words. I'm waiting for His words. You know, they go, well, the sound of the trump. You know what that trump's going to say? It's going to be like the day of Pentecost. Because you know what you're going to understand? You're going to understand your name being called out of here. I believe that. The world will hear a sound, and they won't know what it was. Oh, yeah, the aliens are coming back. Amen. Twilight zone on earth. They'll get all kinds of weird ideas. They'll hear a sound, but you'll hear your name and come up hither. Amen. All the people will hear the same sound, but He'll speak to you personally if you're saved and call you out of here. The mouth of the Lamb. Praise God, it's good to hear a baby in here. In 17 through 20 it says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. We see the mighty opposition of the Lamb. Verse 19 it says, and I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against Him that sat on the horse, and against His army. That mighty opposition. You realize that ever since the world began, man has had, ever since they got off the ark, man has been developing weapons of war. And you know what? They do it under the guise of fighting each other. But ultimately, it's a battle between good and evil. And all those weapons will be turned against our Lord and Savior. And He'll come back simply on a white horse in truth with a sword. And all of man's heart, wicked heart, and wild and wicked and perverted imaginations that they use to come up with all the different weapons in the world, all the different ways of warfare, they'll aim it all at Jesus Christ, and they'll be of none effect against the truth. The mighty opposition. And the massive victory of the Lamb in verse 20 and 21 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. We see that massive victory of the Lamb, the beast, and the false prophet, all these things that had complete control of the world for a short period of time, and he defeats them all. That massive reign that we see coming in verses 1 through 6 of chapter number 20. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, there's folks from the tribulation, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We've seen the marriage of the Lamb, the majesty of the Lamb, the mouth of the Lamb, the mighty opposition of the Lamb, the massive victory over the beast and the false prophet, and all those men, cast them in the lake of fire. We see the millennial reign, where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign with his saints. You see, it's talking about them thrones. It's talking about taking the devil and chaining him up and throwing him into the bottomless pit and putting a seal on that place where he can't get out. He can't deceive the nations. He can't get the credit if you do wrong anymore. Any of the folks do wrong in this world anymore. We won't be doing wrong. We'll be out of here. We're going to come back with him to reign. But the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, what's he going to do? He's going to judge nations. When you're looking at Matthew, you're looking at a judgment of nations. You're looking at the way that nations dealt with Israel in the great tribulation time. He says, when I was hungry, you gave me drink. When I was thirsty, gave me food, you gave me drink. He goes through all these things. He's not talking about you and I. And that's good practical application. We should be helping people out, trying to be a blessing and bragging on Jesus Christ while we do it. But he's talking about nations that treated Israel either right or wrong during the tribulation time, and he's going to judge them in the millennial reign. And when he's talking about the goat nations and the sheep nations, the goat and the sheep, those goats that weren't taking care of Israel and helping Israel and being a blessing to Israel, he's going to judge them for that. And those sheep nations, the ones that got in line and did what God wanted them to do to take care of his chosen people, praise God, he's going to judge between the goats and the sheep, the goat and sheep nation. 1,000-year reign. That's a long time. You know what's interesting, though? The Jehovah's Witnesses and, no-hellers, we call them, they don't believe there's a hell. They don't believe, and then other people think hell's temporary. It's interesting how the Bible straightens all that mess out. They can't read the Bible and believe what they believe. So they don't read their Bible, they read something else. But right here it says they're cast into a lake of fire forever. That's eternal. And it says, for 1,000 years, they're still in a lake of fire, the beast and the false prophet. And they're in there forever. They're not in there for 10 minutes till they're devoured by flames. They're in there in torments where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Forever and ever and ever, because hell's real. And you can't explain it away. You can't write another book to make it disappear. You can't read another book to pretend like it's not. You can pretend. But that doesn't make it any less real. For 1,000 years, Satan will be bound. The millennial reign of the Lamb. Verses 7 through 10. Chapter 20. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. It's a big army, amen. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, here's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. We see the marvelous defeat of the enemies of the Lamb. The devil's loose. I don't know how long he's running around getting people together against God, but they get together. It says there's a number of the sand of the sea. That's a lot. Amen? After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the devil's able to go out and gather up this huge army and go against the Lord Jesus Christ. And they put all this effort in. They get all their works together. They put all these minds together, all these wicked hearts together. And they said, we're going to defeat truth. I love this part. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Like that. All over. You know, the battle for me and you, one of these days we'll close our eyes in death, we'll draw our last breath like that. Battle over. If you're saved. But if you're lost, you'll be in a lake of fire where the fire's never quenched, the worm dieth not forever. If hell was just the grave, what's the story about the rich man and Lazarus? If hell is just the grave, what fire is he putting the beast, the false prophet, in? What fire is he sending the devil, that old serpent, Satan, into? It's not the grave. It's eternal judgment. It's eternal destruction. The marvelous defeat of the enemies of the Lamb. I want to be on His side, amen. I'm on His side because I trusted Christ, but I want to live like I'm on His side in this world, amen. You should too. Verse 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. We see the moments before the eternal damnation of the lost by the Lamb. They're there. The books are open. The book of life is open. And I believe the Lord will let them plead their cause. And they will give every excuse that they could come up with. Well, my education taught me this. My family believed this. We went to this church. We went to that church. And that's not what the church taught us. You have to be merciful because the church lied to us. You have to be merciful because we didn't understand. You have to be merciful because you didn't give me enough opportunity. If you'd have given me one more chance. And you look in that book of life. In these moments leading up to everlasting destruction. And if their name's not in there, they're cast eternally into a lake of fire. After they've exhausted all their excuses and He's given them the answer. But you know, ultimately, they don't go in there because of their church. They don't go in there because of their sin. They go in there because of rejecting the payment for their sin that was made by Jesus Christ. They go in there because they fail to call out to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. Boy, we've got it made, though. Hey, if you're here today and you're not saved, you'll burn in hell forever and ever. Hey, matter of fact, death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire, and that lake of fire will consume and consume and consume, but it'll never get rid of you. It'll just be in there in pain and agony and torment. And there won't be any partying with any friends. There won't be any of that garbage that people try to put out here on this earth. There won't be any, well, maybe it'll just last a little while. No, it'll last forever. You'll just be in a moment of torment that'll last for eternity. And God will walk away with His bride, and we'll be on into the next chapter. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." We've seen the marriage of the Lamb, the majesty of the Lamb, the mouth of the Lamb, the mighty opposition to the Lamb, the massive victories of the Lamb, the millennial reign of the Lamb, the marvelous defeat of the enemies after the millennial reign, the enemies of the Lamb, the moments right before eternal damnation of the lost. And now we see a miraculous, new, eternal beginning made possible by the Lamb.
How can He do that?
Because He took the sin curse of man in this earth on Him on Calvary. And He paid that debt with His blood. And He rose with the power of the resurrection, with victory over death, hell, and the grave. Not just to save you and I, but praise God He did. But we've got a new beginning coming that's eternal. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise God for that. That was the best new beginning you could ever hope for in this earth. But there's going to be a new beginning when we live in a sinless place forever with the Lamb. With the Lamb. That new beginning. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." You know what I believe? I believe in Revelation 20, when that great white throne judgment happens, there'll be mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and friends and neighbors that are crying because people they loved on this earth are being cast into a lake of fire. And then it says, after that, God shall wipe away all tears. Imagine that. Talk about breaking a mama's heart. Or breaking a daddy's heart. How about breaking God's heart? Hey, look, if you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to get saved. That Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us in here deserved anything but hell. Forever. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. You walk out these doors and you walk out of here lost, you're a fool. When God has given you an opportunity to trust Him as Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about being a church member. I'm not talking about whether you were christened or baptized. I'm talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell. I'm talking about what you've done with Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. If you've never trusted Christ, today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here today
and you've trusted Christ, but you've been living like the devil. Listening to things you shouldn't be listening to. Looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Going places you shouldn't be going. Hanging around people you shouldn't be hanging around. Getting involved with things you shouldn't be involved with. Not reading your Bible. Not praying. Not being in church. Being in church, but not being in church. Maybe you got some sin between you and God that you know is wrong. And God's been dealing with you, and you're just hanging on to it like a bulldog, a piece of steak. And God wants you to let go. He wants you to get things right today so you can have a relationship with Him. Not just salvation, but a walk. You could have that today. You could have that today. As the music plays. Hey, look, how about resisting the devil and making your way to an old-fashioned altar? Getting a hold of God. Jesus Christ did it all for you. Won't you let go of something for Him? Today is the acceptable time. Oh, you could sit there and pretend like nothing's wrong. But God knows. And you know. And judgment's coming. If you're lost, it's a white throne judgment. If you're saved, the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, you could get right with God and walk out of here in His will. The music plays. Don't let the devil take your opportunity to be right.